If you have your copy of God's Word this morning, we're going to turn to the book of Exodus, and I'm going to eventually get there, and I'm going to try to get there. I say that every Sunday morning, as long as I don't get distracted, and y'all don't get me off on something I ain't supposed to be on. I get in here on Sunday mornings, y'all get me preaching on stuff I didn't plan to preach. Praise the Lord. The book of Exodus, chapter 8, and I'll read a couple of verses of Scripture there in just a second. We will get there. But I've been preaching the last few weeks, on corporate blessing, because this has really been in my heart. And, sometimes we have to change the way that we see ourselves as a church in the world. For so long, the church has thought of itself as somewhat like a stepchild that gets no attention. And we feel like at times that we are have to take a back seat to everything else that's going on in the world. And it's like there's the world and then there's the church, which is true. We are different, right? And we are completely different. But we don't have to take a back seat to the world when it comes to the things of leading the world in things. And so as the church, we have to see ourselves in a place to where God can put us out front. God can use us to not just be religious, but to have an impact in culture, have an impact in the city, have an impact in our judicial system, have an impact in the world we live in, have an impact in the way a city is run and the way that a city conducts itself. And so when we talk about corporate blessing and we talk about the church, I began talking Thursday and I began saying that I've been preaching that there are some blessings that come as a Christian because you're obedient to God and you obey His Word. There's some blessings that will come to your life just by being obedient in the Word of God individually. There are some blessings that will come on your life because you're faithful and you obey God's Word and you live righteously. And you take the steps in order to walk in a way to where God's blessing is on you. But there's some blessings that only come corporately, that unlock corporate blessing on the church. And so we have seen periodically, and I have seen periodically, people who God has used, and they've realized and they've had a revelation of who they are in Christ, and it's allowed them to break through. In an individual sense, they're able to find freedom. They're able to break strongholds and limitations in their life. They're able to break through a life of poverty or break through a life of stinking thinking or religious bondage. Or they're able to break through things in their life that have kept them back from being what God wanted them to be. And they break through individually because they got a revelation of who they are in Christ. And they just walk that thing out. And so if the church ever gets a real revelation of what it is in the earth and what Christ died and paid the price for us to be, if we ever get a hold of that as a church, as a corporate church, as an individual church, we will walk in a different level and in a different way and have a different impact than what I think that maybe the church is having even in the hour we live. If River Valley Community Church ever realizes the potential that is in this room, I had mentioned to you on Thursday there were four things that you could break corporately that you can't break individually by being a unified church. We talked about that there's always going to be, as a church, as believers, there's always going to be warfare around certain things in this world. The church is always going to be embattled around certain things. There's always going to be warfare around certain things. I told you that on Thursday that there's always going to be warfare around deliverance and deliverance of people and people's lives. Whenever there's deliverance or wherever there's the potential for deliverance, there will be warfare. There will be warfare that will come against it. Deliverances Moses as a child. The Pharaoh had made a decree that any young child under his age should be killed. Why? Because God was bringing a deliverer into the world to free his people. And so there was an onslaught against deliverance. In Jesus' day, when Herod had heard that Jesus was coming on the scene and going to be born, Herod made a decree that any child under 2 years old should be killed. Why? Because he heard that there was a deliverer that was coming. In other words, he had heard that there was a deliverer coming to this generation. I told you Thursday that I had thought in my mind that, do you realize since 1960 how many children have been aborted in the womb of this country and this nation since 1960? It's an amazing thing, the genocide that has taken place in the womb of this country since 1960. How do we know that God may not have had a deliverer that had come through there, that was there to break through, or maybe to someone who was going to be born that would have brought an answer to cancer or an answer to a disease, or maybe a child that was born to be a deliverer or an answer for a culture, for the hour we live in? How do we know that there wasn't? But there always will be warfare around deliverance. If you have people in your family or life who needs a deliverance, I can tell you there will be warfare around that. The devil will do everything he can to keep them in bondage and keep them from being free. So you might as well get used to it. There will always be warfare around deliverance. The media has an influence in our culture. There will always be warfare around media. There will always be warfare around the media. And so there's always going to be that element. We're always going to have to combat the culture in that area. There's always warfare around our property. When you look in Scripture, you will see that many of the battles that took place, a warfare was around a property. You remember that Jezebel, she wanted Naboth's vineyard. And she was going to do everything she could do to control Naboth's vineyard. And when she couldn't have it, she decided she was going to control the prophetic word of that day through Elisha. And I want to tell you that it comes in a form today in the form of zoning laws. And it used to be that they would cities would do everything they could to get churches within the city limits. Now they're passing laws to keep churches out of the city limits and to be outside the city. And so I just read an article not too long ago about in California, a pastor tried to build a church in San Francisco, and they passed a law that no new churches can be built inside the city of San Francisco. And he wanted to build a 1,500-seat sanctuary, and they told him you can build a 300-seat, but you can't build a 1,500-seat. In other words, there was warfare around property, around provision, and around those things. And so we live in an hour when they will rejoice when you build a football stadium, right? But when it comes to the church, all of a sudden there's a battle that takes place. There will always be warfare around blessing and around provision. Have you ever noticed that in your life that as you move forward in blessing or move forward to a place, a breakthrough financially in your life, all of a sudden it seems like a battle begins to take place. Like all hell's about ready to break loose. When you finally get to the place financially where you seem like you've got some breathing room or you feel like you're getting ready to go into a new level financially, all of a sudden it seems like the enemy wants to come against what's happening in your life. You'll find out that once you start moving towards something, and you'll find that there's warfare, the devil trying to keep you from it. And the reason he's trying to keep you from it, he knows that once you get it, you're going to do damage to the kingdom of God and damage to his kingdom. And it's like this, once you start moving toward health in your body, the devil knows that if you can be healthy, you'll be damaging to the kingdom. Once you start moving through your family, being free and whole and peace in your household, he knows that you'll do damage to the kingdom. Once he knows that there's peace in your life, or once he knows that you're going to start living righteously, all of a sudden he knows that once that begins to happen, there'll be damage done to the kingdom. So there's going to be warfare around provision and always warfare around blessing in your life. How many know the devil does not want you to be blessed? He does not want you to be free. He don't want your family to be free. How many know if he could, he'd cause so much drama in your family, you wouldn't know whether to turn left or right. And maybe some of you have drama in your family, you don't know whether to turn left or right. But the truth is, if you ever get it right, if you ever get to the place to where God can use you, and you get to the place where there's peace in your life, he knows he's in trouble if you could ever get to the place where you're free
So there'll always be warfare around provision in your life. There'll always be warfare around provision. How many know there'll always be warfare around blessing on a church and blessing on a provision on the church? I hope we get to the day when we get to the place that this church where God, where we have no lack for anything. And when I mean it, I just don't mean that financially. I mean there'll be no lack for leadership. There'll be no lack for provision in what God wants us to do. There'll be no lack in spiritual maturity or no lack in workers. No lack in people willing to do whatever it takes to win people to Jesus. I see a day when the church, and hopefully this church, gets to the place to where God's provision and blessing on this church is going to be so great that there's nothing the devil can do to stop what God wants us to do as a body. That's the prayer. There's always warfare. We always got to pray about those things. But when we come into unity, when there's unity in the body, we can break the hold that media has on a generation. When we come into unity, we can break the hold of things that keep people from finding what they need to find in order to be free. When we come into unity, there's no lack in a church, because once we come into unity, we find our place and where we're supposed to be in God. And we serve in that place. And God will use us. And all of a sudden, there's no lack. There's nothing missing. And then we'll be a generation that God can use in this hour. I don't want to be a church that has to use gimmicks to get folks here to church. I don't want to be a church that has to do gimmicks and silly stuff, beg people to do things, beg people to work, beg people to live or give, beg people to do something for God. I'm not going to do that, folks. I'm not going to have these little silly games where we do just to draw 500 people in here, just to get them in here and give them a gift certificate down there to Harry's Steakhouse so that they leave here and be happy and you have 500 on one Sunday and 100 the next Sunday. I'm not going to do that, because I believe a church that is moving in God and has unity, the power of the Holy Spirit and Christ being lifted up is what draws men unto God. That's what draws people to Jesus, is Christ being lifted up. I know I sound old right there. I know I sound like my grandfather, but listen, Jesus is the answer to people and what we need in this city. Jesus is the answer. Nothing but Christ, Him crucified, a resurrected Savior, and an empty tomb is the answer for people's lives today. Ha ha. I mean, we think they need another counseling appointment or just up the dose from 10 milligrams to 25 milligrams on their medication. That'll take care of it. Come on, y'all help me preach this morning. You know we're living in a generation that thinks all those things are the answer. If I just find a better job, if I just find a somebody to marry that's less crazy than the one I'm married to now, huh? If I just get my hands on some more medication or some more, hey, listen, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. It's simple. Christ is the answer, the hope of glory. He's the only one that can break this stuff off of us. And I'm not going to be a church or live in a place where we refuse to live. I'm not going to live in a defeated mentality as a pastor, as a church. We're not going to live in this mentality where we're always defeated and always got our tail between our legs because we're a church. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not going to walk around like a victim. I'm not going to walk around and as though it with a poverty mentality. And I'm not going to walk around with a no-can-do mentality. You know what? If God speaks it to us as a church, we ought to step by faith and do whatever God says He wants us to do and not look back and think twice. I don't know how we're going to do it all. I don't know how we would do it. I'll tell you how we do it. Just trust God and believe in God and walk in unity, and He'll break some of this stuff free. It's what breaks this stuff free. That's why we pray that prayer, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." A mature church can pull those things out of the air, out of heaven, and pull them into this world that we live in. The children of Israel went to bed as slaves and woke up. They woke up. Not only did they wake up having their needs met, Pharaoh came to them and said, "It's time to get out. We're going a 3 days journey." Not only did God bring them out,
But God didn't just bring them out. He brought them out with the wealth of the very nation that had enslaved them. Now go figure that. How in the world are you slave one day and you wake up the next and they're marching out of the nation with the wealth of the nation that enslaved them? Only God can do that. And all God promised was, hey, I'm going to take you out and I'm going to take you in. He said nothing about the wealth. All he did was he provided the provision of everything they need when they walked out, and Pharaoh gave in because he hardened his heart. And when they left there, they were better off than what they were when any other time in history. Why? Because God knows how to deliver his people when they walk in faith. He said, I'm going to take you out and bring you in. Now I want you to see this. This morning in the book of Exodus chapter 8, I want you to see a couple of things. Because I think there's some warfare. I think there's some things that we have to get through individually in order for us to step into a place of corporate blessing. And there are only certain things as a church we're going to be able to break through corporately. And so when we look at this in Exodus chapter 8, begin reading in verse 27. Here Moses comes to Pharaoh. The plagues have started. Pharaoh has not got the message yet. How many know that it took 10 times for God to get the hold of Pharaoh and get to the place where Pharaoh... How many know that's a pretty hard-headed dude when God's got to do 10, got to curse you 10 times before you get the message that God's on the throne? Verse 27, the Bible says, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Now look at this. Only you shall not go very far away. Only you shall not go very far away. In other words, just a few verses before that, Pharaoh had said in verse 25, he said, why don't you just sacrifice in the land? And so the first battle of warfare that takes place in our lives, when we talk about corporate blessing and we talk about individual blessing, we have to come with the mentality is that we have to break the mentality of that says this, that says that you can, it's okay to be a Christian, but you just can't take it too far. Come on now. Y'all help me. How many of you had relatives when you got saved? They said, well, that's just nice, but just don't take that thing too far, right? How many know the world says, well, that's nice that you worship in your new building up on the hill and you got a little bit of worship, but let's just make sure you just don't take that thing too far, because we don't want you having an impact. It's always the voice of reason comes around when all of a sudden you start making gains toward God, or when you start moving toward victory or moving to a place. All of a sudden that voice of reason shows up and says, now, listen, don't get too carried away with this thing. Where were they when you were lost, right? You were acting like a fool all over the city. They were throwing your rear end in jail, and you were disrupting everything all around the city. Where were they? Where was the voice of reason then? When were they saying, hey, don't take that thing too far now, right? But all of a sudden now you got in the church, and they say, now don't go to church too much. Really? Really? You're too into it. Y'all ever heard that one? You're just too into that thing. Come on now, y'all help me. They said nothing when they saw that you were a fanatic about your sports team. They said nothing when you were a fanatic and was all caught up in all them shoes and clothes that you had bought. They didn't care about it then. They didn't care when you was wrapped up in that crazy girlfriend or that lunatic boyfriend that you ran around with. All of a sudden, they didn't have anything to say then. But now all of a sudden you've got saved and you become a Christian. All of a sudden now they want to become the voice of reason in your life. Amen. Y'all help me this morning, because you all have lived that and you all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Pharaoh's point is this. He says, you can go outside the gate and you can go out there and you can go outside the gate. You can just leave. He said, but don't go too far. You know why he said that? He said that because of this. He said he didn't want them to go too far, because if he ever wanted to go recapture them, he knows exactly where they are. And that's what the devil says to the church. He says, listen, it's okay to have a... Listen, the devil's not really threatened by a church service. What he's threatened by is people that become effective in the kingdom of God. The devil gets mad when people start getting saved, getting free, getting changed. When you start having an impact in people's lives, then all of a sudden the devil says, hey, you're going just a little bit too far. Ha-ha. And so the enemy always wants to keep you at an arm's length, always want to keep you at a place to where they can always bring you back into captivity. And the Bible says he changed his mind after he told him he could go. Then Exodus 10, the Bible says in Exodus 10, beginning in verse 8, it says, and so Moses and Aaron came back to him again. And they said this, they said, so Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh. And he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? And Moses said, we will go with the young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds, we will go. For we must hold a feast to the Lord. And then he said to them, the Lord had better be with you. Had better be with you when I let you go. And your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord. For that is what you desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. In other words, Pharaoh came to them and said, okay, I'll let you go. You can take your children with you. You can take the old men and the young men with you. But you can't take your women with you. You can go by yourself. And you can go, but that thing which will allow you to reproduce, and that thing which will allow you to reproduce another generation, you can't take with you. You're going to have to go by yourself, and you will die in the wilderness. Evil will befall you. Now listen, that's exactly what the devil tries to tell the church. He tries to steal and take away everything in the church that has the ability to bring reproduction or reproduce or to minister to the next generation. And so what the devil said, you can't take your women. In other words, you can't take them because I don't want you reproducing. I want to tell you, the devil will do everything he can to keep the church from reproducing, keep the church from winning the next generation, getting others saved, getting others changed. He will come against everything. Now, he won't mind it if you lay here and die. He won't, but just don't start reproducing or having an impact. All of a sudden, then the devil gets a little stirred. And that's the world we live in. Moses said, bro. No. That ain't how it's going to be. He said, we all leaving out of this place. He said, we're all going. He said, let me just prophesy to you for just a minute. He says, we are all going out. Red, yellow, black and white, small, women, child, old, young. We are all going out. We are all moving forward. Listen, we have to say as a church corporately, we have to say that whatever level God takes us to, wherever he sends us, whatever we do in this city, whatever we do in this region or in this area or in this church, we can't just leave a certain group of folk out so that we don't reproduce. Listen, everything we do around here is for everybody. Everybody's going. Everybody's going to the next level. The kids are going. The women are going. The men are going. The next generation is going. And so you've got to look the devil in the eye and you've got to say, hey, man, we're going to get our inheritance. We're going to get what God has for us. And the truth is, you've got to look at the, listen, the enemy will always try to reduce you. He will allow you to do certain things, but he'll always take something from you. And all of a sudden, you live in lack and you live a place of lack. And because of that, you can't be with the fullness of God. This is what happens in churches, folks. The devil will come in and try to build and destroy and bring warfare within the body. Come on now. Y'all help me this morning. If we can get the old folks mad at the young folk, huh? It'll tear church up. Right? If we can get this one against that one and say you can do this, but you can't do that. How about we just as a church just go ahead and prophesy and declare this morning that whatever we do as a church, we're going to go in and through it together. Everybody's going. Everybody's going to receive the inheritance. Everybody's going to have blessing. Everybody's going to be a partaker of what God is doing in this hour, this city, and this generation. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, let's go. Let's go. Ha, ha, ha. And so, the enemy will try to kill your ability to reproduce. kill your ability to disciple, kill your ability to do what God's called you to do. And then Exodus chapter 10 and verse 24, you read a little further down there in verse 24, it says, then Pharaoh called Moses and said, I love this. Pharaoh, he's a fool. He's a fool. The world's a fool. How many know the world can be a fool? They perceived to be themselves wise in their own eyes, but they became fools. All right, all two of you agreed with that. All right. Come on now, we live in a crazy world, folks. This is a crazy day. This is a crazy hour. Passing laws that make no sense. Doing things in the world, you look and you think twice, you think, my goodness, we've lost our mind as a country. What in the world's going on? George Washington's false teeth would roll out of his grave if he knew what stuff that was going on in this place. Y'all help me this morning. And I'm telling you, if you're going to survive in this next generation, we're going to need people like Daniel. We're going to need people like Jeremiah. We're going to need some people willing to step out and say, hey, we're taking it all with us. You ain't taking nothing from us. We're going to be the church. That's all. I'm just going to preach the Bible. Just going to preach the Bible. That's all I want. Just preach His Word. Just preach the Bible. Come on. I ain't got no deep theological answer here. I ain't going to give you all the 55 reasons and how to interpret Greek this morning. I can't do that if I wanted to do that. I can't sit here and give you a symposium on the apocalypse and the last days things. Listen, I can preach on it, but listen, I'm not here. I'm not trying just to fill people's heads. We have enough of that going on. It's okay. Education's good. Knowledge is good. Study the Word of God. Show yourself approved. But there's got to come a day when the church decides that it's going to step out in faith and unity and begin to set some people free in their life. All right. Hallelujah. Guys, if you'd come. Praise God, I didn't even finish. Y'all wore me out. Y'all preach me to death every week. Y'all just got to get things together so I don't have to preach so hard. Y'all stand with me this morning. Listen, you ever ask yourself the question, who's profiting off your bondage? You ever ask yourself the question, who benefits by you being sick? Who benefits by you being mad and angry all the time? Come on, y'all. Y'all got friends. That's all they are. They're mad all the time. They benefit off your anger because they know they can call you and they got somebody they can cozy up to and be mad with them and miserable with them also. Who benefits off your anger? Who benefits off you being like you are and not being free? Who benefits from your struggle? You know, I think sometimes we just got to let Jesus take care of this thing. And walk out of here, and the people that are benefit off our bondage, go ahead and dry that thing up. And tell them, say, look, I'm living a different way. I'm living by another economy this morning. And it's by His Word. And it's by Him this morning. And so, as a church this morning, God wants to bless us corporately. And you may be in this building this morning, and you've gotten saved, and you've allowed certain things to keep you from going all the way. See, that's what the enemy wants. You can go, right? You can get saved. But don't go too far, Jordan. Don't go to England. Don't go to England where God can put a passion in your heart for the nations. That's a little bit much, right? Come on, what do you got to leave Madison for, right? I mean, we got Taco Bell here. We got McDonald's. What do you have to leave the city for, right? We got Blue Bell ice cream, right? What do you need to leave here for? But don't go too far. The enemy says, just don't go too far because it might ignite something in you that causes you to change the world. Ha-ha! Yeah. Some of you need to listen to this. The enemy's got you right where he wants you because you've gone just far enough. You go to church. But God wants you to step out into a place that's even greater. And you've not done it because you're afraid what mama's going to say or what your uncle's going to say or that crazy aunt that you brought to church that doesn't like me. So because he preaches too loud, too hard. Right? Don't go too far. The devil's saying, yeah, y'all can build a church up there. Y'all can gather in and have your little meetings. But Jess, don't get too carried away. Don't start reaching out to the indigent or the homeless or the drug addict. Don't start reaching out into the broken homes and the broken marriages. Don't start prophesying and operating in the gifts. Come on, y'all. Right? Don't start speaking in tongues and doing all that stuff that you don't, just don't go too far. Can I say something? They done got to me too late. I've already drove off the edge. I'm already in. I'm already up to my neck in it. I'm going to stay in it. I've already made everybody in my family mad that needs to be made mad. And they've gotten over it. And your family will too. But don't go too far. Don't try to reproduce. Don't try to take them young kids and pour into them so that when they grow up, they be like you and serve God. Just tell them about Jesus and let them put them little stickers on them felt boards. But don't pour into them. Don't teach them the worship. Don't teach them the word. Don't teach them how to be free and live life in the level of freedom. Don't do that, because you can't do that. We can't have you reproducing. And another thing. There's some things in worship you just got to leave behind. Okay? You can take some of the cattle, and you can take some of the things that you need for worship. But just don't go too far on it. Just don't sacrifice. Just don't take everything. And maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, I just want to make a commitment to God this morning to let him know that I'm all in. That I'm going to take a step, and I don't care if Pharaoh's in front of me, I'm going to depend on the God that's behind me. And I've allowed things to hold me back in worship, hold me back in my commitment to God, hold me back in certain things. I've held on to things because other people have profited by me being in bondage. Because if I get saved, I'm going to lose my boyfriend. Well, y'all ain't even hearing me this morning. If I get saved, I'm going to lose my girlfriend. If I get saved, they're going to make fun of me at work. Right? They're going to call me a holy roller. They're already calling you that. You've come into this church. You're already one of us. Right? Y'all feel the presence of God in here. Who's profiting on your bondage this morning? Father, as we leave this morning, we just thank you, God, that, Father, we're ready to go higher. We're ready to go further than we ever thought we could go. We look the enemy straight in the eye and we say that God that's behind us is much bigger than the enemy that's before us. And we're taking everything with us. Man, woman, child, all are going to the next level. In Jesus' name.